This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Mellanox Technologies, the leading supplier of end-to-end FDR 56 gigabits per second InfiniBand and 10 and 40 gigabit Ethernet interconnect solutions for HPC and cloud server and storage clustering. www.mellanox.com.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry, with Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
U.S. recaptures top 500 title.
And Intel answers the question, Wi-Fi.
We're here at the International Supercomputing Conference in Hamburg, Germany, and this is our special ISC edition of Soundbite. I'm joined once again by Addison Snell of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, Addison, how are you doing?
Thanks, Mike. How's it going?
It's going great. It's a great show. It's busy as always, but...
We are here in the bar at the Radisson Blue, just outside the conference center in Hamburg, Germany, where... You can hear from the background noise, ISC is in full swing as people tuck into their German beers prior to the evening receptions.
Yeah, we've just been, I think we're 2 days into the show now. We've got some big news items to talk about. It's been a good time so far.
I'll tell you what, I love this conference, Michael, and the ISC organizers have done a great job refreshing some of the panels. There's a lot of interesting content going on.
There is.
The news is not as heavy as we've seen it in previous years, but nevertheless, a couple of things, and we can always count on the top 500 to get us going, and some new news at the top.
Yeah, great news at the top. I mean, we remembered last time at SC, there was no turnover in the top 10, and here...
No new systems in the top 10 at SC, and then all of a sudden,
kapow! And they just waited. It's like, I think there were six new systems, and actually seven if you count Jaguar, which was refreshed with new CPUs.
Yep.
So it was almost a complete turnover there.
Tell me about number one.
So number one is Sequoia, the BlueJean Q system that we weren't quite expecting this early, but sure enough, it came in at 16 petaflops. So it knocked the K computer down to number two, which had held it for a year. And that was a big surprise, and there was a big win for Lawrence Livermore there and IBM with the new BlueJean Q.
You know, you and I were talking about this earlier, about whether there was any computer that might unseat K at the top of the list.
Right.
And we were looking at some of these big two-digit petaflop systems coming on in the U.S. and said the only one that really had a chance of doing it was Sequoia.
Right.
And here it is at the top. They installed enough of it, got the run in, and that's a new number one. Very good for IBM.
Right. They installed the whole thing. In fact, I found out later they had started installing this back in January, and they were done, I think, by April. And then they started doing the burn-in testing. They had to, get rid of the stuff that didn't burn in well. And then they started to run different tests, and they got the Linpacks in fairly late, but they were able to get multiple runs. They finally got a number they loved, and it was 16 petaflops. They got 80% yield out of the 20 petaflop peak, which
great performance, great yield.
Yeah, that was good yield at least, but 20 petaflops a peak, they got the 16 out of it, and yeah, 6 petaflops above, the K system.
Cruised right past. Well, I'll tell you what, I can't say I was surprised at Sequoia, because we were thinking about whether or not that was going to be there. That may be a surprise they got the whole thing in. I was surprised that Mira was already up there at number three.
Right.
I did not expect to see that so far along.
Right, Mira at Argonne is slightly smaller, also a BlueJean Q system, but yeah, that's the number three system now, right below the K. And in fact, to me, the big news is that there's actually four BlueJean Q systems in the top 10, and there's 15 of them in the top 100. So they've been sprouting up like weeds over the last 6 months. These are all new systems. BlueJean Q is
top 100 went shopping for some new BlueJeans.
Yeah, they actually did. I mean, it's incredible how many new systems just came up all of a sudden in 6 months. And yeah, I mean, IBM really, really kicked it.
Very impressive. And I'll tell you, the other thing at the top that did surprise me that I hadn't expected was how many of the new top 10 were in Europe. With the Eurozone crisis kind of in full bloom, I did not expect to see, four new systems in Europe in the top 10?
Yeah, we've got, I think that's right. We've got a total of, we've got the two German systems. There's one in France. And then there's one label.
German so systems are, were Uqueen at Jülich and Supermach, right?
Yeah, the Supermach is also an IBM system. That's the iDataplex, though. The other one was the BlueGene 2, so that's being sold internationally.
France is the Curie system.
Right, and that's a Bull system. And Italy is the Fermi system. That was another BlueGene, Q.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Bull has three systems now over a petaflop.
I think that's right, yeah. They've been doing good business in Europe now. There's actually a total of 20 petaflop systems now. So now
the whole top 20 is at a petaflop and up.
They're to be called fairly common. So we started with 10 6 months ago. Now there's 20 petaflop systems. So we're well into the petascale era, and this basically backs that up. So.
And then that leaves two that are in China in the top in the top 10, I should say. Sorry, and then only K from Japan, Tsubame, has been bumped well out of the top 10.
Right, the ones that were up, obviously there that are now down in the 10 to 20 or below range. But yeah. It's a very international system. There's only three U.S. systems on the list, or three that are installed in the U.S., and the rest are, you know, China, Asia, and Europe now. So it's a very international list, and that goes basically down to the top 15, even top 100. U.S. is still the dominant player here. I think they've got slightly more than half
overall,
the systems.
Right.
But they're slightly, it's eroding. So with every... with every list, it seems like there's fewer and fewer systems. There's a little more parity. The European and Asian systems are coming up a little bit. Although China, I think they lost a little bit from what they had, too. So they didn't put out a lot of new systems this time. 170 systems fell off the list. So if you didn't put out a new system this year, you know, you maybe lost some ground.
Well, I care about the top 10 a little more than I care about the whole top 500, because people start extrapolating that as if it means something for the whole industry. But
although
the top 10 really does represent that vanguard of advancement.
It does, although if you think about this, the 500th system on the list is like 60-some teraflops. That would have been the number one system just 8 years ago.
It's pretty impressive.
So it was 2004. People were doing remarkable things with that top system, and now you're at the bottom of the list.
I remember when a teraflop was a lot.
Yeah, you can still do remarkable things with 60 teraflops. So that's nothing to sneeze at. So these 500. I mean, in a way, the top 500 gets more impressive every year because the systems actually do get better every year.
Yeah, a trillion just isn't as many as it used to be.
Yeah, exactly. Now,
well, so you were talking about the whole list. What other insights did you have for the top 500 in general?
So the processor mix stayed about the same. Course, you know, Intel and their Xeons basically dominate that list. Like, I think they got like near 80%, and that's a trend that's been going on for a while. InfiniBand actually made a little news. They actually crossed that magic mark. They beat out the Ethernet connected systems finally. They have a slight edge now. There's something like 200-something to 200-something, but there's more InfiniBand systems than any other kind of interconnect now.
Yeah, I still don't care about that too much from, you know, broad market perspective.
Right.
About a fifth of the top 500 is custom interconnects, which doesn't mean that a fifth of the whole HPC market is custom interconnects. That top 500 is not demographically representative of the industry.
Right, InfiniBand is actually more representative at the top, but at the very top, like you mentioned, the custom interconnects, the ones that are not Ethernet or not InfiniBand, there's like 90 of those systems, but they're basically all at the top, and they represent more than half of the performance on the whole list. So the custom interconnects are very critical to the top of the list.
Yeah, and still, there's other good news for InfiniBand at this show, and we'll come back to some of that in a future podcast. But so it is good news for them. They're outnumbering Ethernet. That is interesting.
Yeah.
Why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll come back and hit another major news story that got announced yesterday at ISC.
Mellanox's end-to-end FDR 56 gigabits per second InfiniBand and 10 and 40 gigabit Ethernet interconnect products, consisting of ConnectX-3 adapter products, the comprehensive SwitchX family of fixed and modular switches, software, and cables, deliver industry-leading performance, scalability, efficiency, and economics for the best return on investment for performance interconnects. Mellanox provides its worldwide customers with the broadest, most advanced, and highest-performing end-to-end interconnect solutions for the world's most compute-demanding applications. For more information on Mellanox's end-to-end connectivity solutions for HPC and cloud server and storage clustering, visit www.mellanox.com.
Well, Michael, we've been talking about what news there is at ISC 12 this year. There was one major press conference yesterday that Intel held.
Yeah, Intel had some big news, or at least semi-big news. I mean, of course, they're working on the mic system.
Intel mic architecture, we're all looking forward to it.
And they've used ISC as sort of a platform to make big announcements. And this wasn't a huge announcement, but it was fairly big. They made a few little things public that weren't public before. One of them is they rebranded the mic. The mic architecture is...
It's not that it's rebranded. They've introduced the brand. They told us the brand for Intel mic.
Well, I mean, everybody was calling mic like it was a brand, but that is the architecture. The new brand is called Xeon Phi.
Xeon Phi. P-H-I. The Greek letter.
The golden triangle.
The golden triangle.
Or whatever that is.
It's a new fraternity or a sorority, depending on what you like. I went to the fraternity of Intel Xeon Phi.
And Intel wants you to pledge them, I think. So.
That's right.
So they branded
maybe
that.
I play a little too much Scrabble. I looked at Xeon Phi and saw the word Phoenix right away.
So that was actually their one of their big news items. The other big item is they actually got an entry on the top 500 with this new Xeon Phi. I think it was a cluster of, I think, under 100 nodes. I think they didn't quite make that public. But it came up with a 118 teraflop system with... a Xeon Phi accelerated system with the regular Xeon CPUs in it. So I think it came in as number 150 on that.
But they're in there.
And
that's as a prelude to Stampede, which we'll see coming online soon.
Right. That's right at the end of the year. So, and that'll be the production system. These are pre-production Xeon Phi systems. They're Xeon Phi co-processors, but it's an experimental system. I think it's at Intel Lab somewhere, but they did get that entry. And they also announced they actually were able to attain 1 teraflop in a node with a mic chip in it.
Now, see, that's maybe the most significant part of this announcement to me. The brand is fine. It's a perfectly serviceable brand. Most of the people who are here aren't going to get bent out of shape about a brand one way or another. They want to know what it does. To have a teraflop inside a mic node as a building block, I think, is significant news.
Right, and I think they announced it as this is the first node or server node that was able to hit a teraflop. I'm not sure if that's quite accurate. Maybe the first node with an accelerator like that. I think ClearSpeed had something pretty similar.
Go back and verify.
Yeah, but that is quite an accomplishment. Now what they didn't say, but what I verified later, is part of those flops were due to the two Xeons in that node.
Oh, naturally.
So the mic was only carrying, you know, several hundred gigaflops of that, which is good in itself, obviously.
Sure, of course.
But it wasn't all mic, but a teraflop in a node, that was the accomplishment. And of course, the cluster, they were able to run one pack across a whole cluster of mics. So that's good news there.
Now, Intel wasn't the only vendor involved in this announcement.
Right. So Cray came in and said their piece, too. And, of course, we know Cray they're developing their Intel-based Cascade system for 2013, the one that came out of the DARPA program, the HPCS. And, you know, obviously they had announced it was going to use Xeons, but then now they announced they're going to support mic in that architecture as well. And they said there's a couple of systems that are already on order for those Cascade systems.
Very important announcement for Cray here, because this is coming on the heels of them selling their interconnect hardware futures to Intel.
Right.
So, you know, they really want to be in there with Intel talking about what competitive advantage they're going to be getting out of the future Intel processors.
Right, and they started their relationship with Intel a few years ago. I think it was 4 years ago, and they haven't done a whole lot with them, and all of a sudden it's sort of coming to the fore now with Cascade and now with Mike and Xeon. So that Intel's relationship is solidifying, like you said, with the relationship. Now they're connected at the interconnect for a while there.
Connected at the interconnect is exactly right.
So yeah, it's they're butting up there, and so it kind of makes you wonder what's going to happen with their other product line, the AMD line that they've had for, what, now 10 years.
And we talked about this with regards to Intel and this partnership because, you know, we were looking at what does this mean for the future of AMD, the future of NVIDIA with this. We noticed that in as much as Cascade, Cray said that they would be supporting Intel Mic. They did not say that that was to the exclusion of any other processor partners.
No, and I have a feeling they're going to keep their options open there, at least for the time being.
So. I think everybody's keeping their options open for the time being, but still interesting to see Mic as part of the conversation now.
It is, yeah, and they were very supportive, so that was the basically the third big news item. So Mic's moving along, and oh, we should say, actually, the other news item, they hadn't, I don't think ever really confirmed this, but Intel Mic will be in production in 2012. They basically drew the line in the sand and said before the end of 2012, we'll be in production, and that could mean a lot of things to...
We were expecting it by the end of this year, though.
Yeah, although I think there was some talk that they wouldn't be in volume production in 2013, and that still might be the case, but obviously they're committed to it. They're going to get that Stampede system in, which is 8 petaflops of Mic. By the end of this year, and maybe some other systems as well, because there were other people in line that wanted to get those Mic accelerator systems. Well, I think we'll see multiple
sure.
Mic systems before the end of the year.
Well, just by happenstance, on my flight on the way over to Hamburg, I happened to be sitting next to Jay Boisseau from that tax center, so
right.
I got to spend a fair amount of time talking to him as we suffered through our various maintenance delays and missed connections.
Oh, okay.
My luggage did eventually show up in Hamburg only a day after I did, so I'm up at full speed now, but I can confirm that Jay's pretty excited about that Stampede system.
He is. I saw him talking at the Intel booth about it, and yeah, he's going through the programming models and what they're going to be doing, and he is excited about it. There's going to be a lot of activity around Stampede towards the end of the year and in the first part of 2013 as people get used to this, and it's going to be sort of a watershed system for TAC, and I think a lot of people are going to be looking at that system and seeing what it can do.
So a couple of news announcements to get us started off here at ISC. We're about halfway through it. We got another full day tomorrow. We'll wrap up Thursday, and we'll be back with another podcast to wrap up the show.
Perfect. All right, we'll talk to you in a couple of days, Addison.
Cheers, Michael.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by Mellanox Technologies, the leading supplier of end-to-end FDR 56 gigabits per second InfiniBand and 10 and 40 gigabit Ethernet interconnect solutions for HPC and cloud server and storage clustering. www.mellanox.com.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.